Hey kids, you know what time it is? It's not Howdy Doody time. It's in fact time for the Jay and Rob Toy Show at our brand new time slot. Of course, we have switched the shows to Saturday right after your morning cartoon watching routine, which I'm sure you all still do. You get up at 7 a.m., you sit cross-legged in front of the TV with a bowl of tricks, maybe Count Chocula, watch cartoons for 5.5 hours, get sugar rushed, and then you got to watch like baseball stats or something. But not no more, folks. Now we get to talk about toys, action figures. And when I say we, it's not just me. You know who's coming, my good friend, Mr. Jay Bartlett.
I want to have a room in my house that's designated the 1980s room. I think I've talked about this before. My idea
isn't that your house to begin with, other than the Star Wars stuff?
From no, 70? I mean like 80s, like there's no... nothing past 89. So that would be technology. That would be, so like TVs, phones, like you'd have to have an old landline. You'd have to have an old tube TV. So it would really recreate that time period. I'm thinking about
why do you want that level? Why do you need that? Why do you need that in your life?
I just certainly
click the button on demand, get it beamed right into your brain. Be happy, move on, rinse, repeat, take a shit, do it again.
Oh, you swore.
We swear every now and then, my friend.
Demonetized.
Wow.
I don't know. Oh, well. I think it would be cool. I have a garage in my backyard. It's essentially just an empty building now. And I think I was toying with the idea last summer with my neighbor, Rob. We were going to make it into like a bar. So I think I might do it with that, where everything is old school. It's like if you want to listen to a different band, you're going to have to get up and change the CD or the tape or whatever. I think it's a really cool idea.
CD, you're pushing it there. CDs came out what?
Well, like that came out in the late 80s. Let's remember.
Yeah, well, you could only play the select CDs that were released in the 80s.
American Psycho, he was super rich and he had a CD player, which was unheard of back in the day. If you had a CD player, you were the man.
Yeah, I remember my folks had a CD player. It was they had a cartridge that you put 6 discs in. You had to put them upside down to go in the slot.
Oh, well, that's
put it in
because you're a millionaire. That's why nobody had that, man. That was like elite.
It was like 1990. So
and I remember like when CDs weren't getting as cool, everyone had the CD changers, and that always bugged me. It's like, you know, people would put like 30 discs in, and I was always very anal about that stuff. It's like I had to put the disc back in the case, put it back in alphabetical order.
Above and beyond that,
people like
you had to put the case on top of the CD player, so it was on display, so we knew what we were listening to. We had to have the visual cue.
Look, Boulder Hill. Like I've always been that way. I always like Boulder Hill has nothing to do with what we're talking about today, but I always like having something on display for like eye candy, and it was always cool when we go down to HMV, which was a record store back in the day, and whatever was playing in the record store, they would have the album on the stereo. That's kind of where I lifted that idea. I'm like, that's cool.
Lifts. Just taking stuff, stealing stuff. I want to say hi to everybody in chat. We got Ryan B chiming in. What's going on, my friend? Severus Snape, who's joined us, who's made the jump to Saturday morning, which is great. Skelevator, how you doing, brother? Good luck on your contest. I see you're kicking butt top 5 in that voting. I've been throwing some votes your way, so that's wicked. 1-6 shooter. Discman is the way to go for sure. Oh, I was so excited when I got my Discman until I realized I had to carry it so fragilely. Like I couldn't move. It was like the Holy Grail, the cup of Christ. Heaven forbid you tilt it one way or another. It's gonna skip.
And it would like batteries would you couldn't skip songs because if you did that would totally drain your 80 double A's that it took. So it's like, you just like, okay, I'm just going to play it from the beginning. And I remember every album that I put in there, I really liked the first 3 tracks because that's really all I could ever get to without it.
Yeah. I remember for whatever reason, when I press pause on my Discman, the whole thing would heat up and I thought it was going to like melt through my backpack or wherever, like if I was holding it, it's like, same reason they don't call them laptops anymore. Right. Cause they get so hot sitting on your lap. But welcome to the show, everybody. This is what I like to call like the brunch edition almost, right? This is fun. I've got my morning cup of coffee here. Jay and I are a little bit more refreshed compared to the evening where we're, just getting by, skirting it all out on fumes. Got a pretty good show in store, I think, folks. We're going to talk about the marketing machine, the pop culture marketing machine. But before we get to that, got to thank our cool sponsors, Retro Rags, if you want some cool pop culture ironic t-shirts. Mock Masters, if you want to protect all those different dollies you got on your shelves or on your walls, you got to get these UV protected Mock Master clamshell cases. They're awesome. Big Bad Toy Store, of course, your online destination for some of the coolest new toys that are coming out. And of course, we've got to thank our hometown store, our Toy HQ, Heroes Comics and Cards, London, Ontario. Brom and the crew are awesome. It was great to actually see Brom earlier this week and chit chat a little bit. So thanks to all you guys for what you do, helping us do the show. And they present the icebreaker. Are you ready for this icebreaker, my friend?
Dude, I'm always ready. It's Saturday, Marcy Playground.
It's Saturday. Hey. That brings us to, it's actually a music related question. I've been going through a lot of MTV unplugs. And I'm curious,
great,
what your favorite MTV Unplugged is. If you could only have one and eliminate every single other one, which would it be?
I think I would pick Pearl Jam out of all of them. I mean, Nirvana to me is almost like you can't even really count it because it's so good. It's like perfect. I really enjoy Eric Clapton's, which is the very first one. Yeah,
actually, it's not the first one. They started this in the late 80s.
It's the first one I remember. That was like 91, 92.
One.
Yeah,
it's the biggest.
And that was the first album I remember that came out from MTV Unplugged. That was really cool.
Also true. Best live album of all time.
Bryan Adams Unplugged is really great too.
It's not MTV though.
Oh, it's not? Okay, so I'm gonna go with Pearl Jam, straight up. Nirvana was obviously amazing, and that's probably still their most iconic performance to date, but I'm going to go with Pearl Jam just to be a little different.
Yeah, the Nirvana one was cool because, of course, it was only, what, 5-6 months before Kurt passed away, so it's like one of the last recorded broadcasts of them playing, and Pat's playing with them, which I think is also cool. As I've been going through these, a Hole obviously did an Unplugged, and I did not know that they played You Know You're Right.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they call it You Got No Right. Oh, but yeah, it's out there. And maybe they should have left that one in the closet. I don't like it.
I gotta say, the Kiss one is great too. But the Kiss
That's
one,
where I was going.
The Kiss one's bittersweet.
I love it.
Bittersweet for me.
That's my favorite. I've been listening to a lot of the Biffy Clyro Unplugged lately. That's obviously a lot newer one. But Kiss Unplugged, that's my jam. I think that's my favorite of all of them so far. I want to go back and check out the Poison one. I want to check out the Eagles. There's tons. There's over 100 that were released. So
yeah,
Alice in Chains is another one that gets a lot of love. Oh, people are literally chiming in on that. REM was great as well. Yeah, lots of cool picks, guys. But that's where I'm at. Follow up, icebreaker, Jay. Since I couldn't be here last week, and thanks for taking the show on your own, and thanks to our good friend Tater the Toy Guy for jumping in as you guys talked about top five figures. You guys can check that program out on Jay's channel. You will see it there. It's an awesome show. Second icebreaker. When you think of your childhood, Jay, is there a taste that comes to mind? What is the taste of your childhood?
Oh, McDonald's, 100%. Yeah.
What specifically, though? Like biting into a hamburger, a Big Mac, the fries? Like, give me, what is that childhood
meal? Yeah, I would say just a plain old cheeseburger from McDonald's. This was way before, obviously, I became a vegetarian. This was when I was a kid, right? But yeah, I would say a McDonald's cheeseburger. Yeah, 100%. That stuff. I mean, I don't eat meat, but still, I love the smell of McDonald's whenever, you know, I'm around someone who's having it or whatever. It's like, oh God, that smells so good.
Really? That's interesting. Yeah. I can't do it. I can't do that smell anymore. I don't know why. It's weird. I didn't even think to put that together since you just mentioned it. You're a vegetarian. I've gone vegan. We've lost all our 1980s styrofoam cheeseburger, grease ball, and eaten edge. What's up with that?
Well, I mean, the planet's in pretty rough shape, so I don't know. Yeah, there's no political statement by, you know, why I do it, or it's just because I don't want to kill animals to eat them. It's as simple as that.
My political statement is I'm getting old, and boy, my body doesn't like stuff it can't process anymore. And if I can save myself a little extra pain by choosing what I eat, I'm going to do it. I don't need that. I've had enough of that stuff that I can try something new. And that's been the coolest transition to first vegetarianism and then veganism, just to switch it up. Why not? Give it a try. You know?
I mean, yeah. I don't like how people wear it as a badge of honor. Like, I'm this and I'm that. That really irritates me. That's why I don't ever talk about it usually. I'm this and that. It's like, I'm very proud of you. Good for you.
Well, you got to join the club. We're all part of something, right? That's how that works.
If you
are this, then you can be part of that. In heaven forbid, you are not this thing, this identifier.
Yeah.
Because if you are not the thing, then you can't do it. And that's just like toys, right? If you're a Masters fan, you can have Masters on your shelves. We're going to talk about fandom as well a little bit later on. Well,
this might be a 3-hour show if we get into that, because you know that's one of my sore topics.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. We're going to push some buttons later, folks. My taste of childhood, one of two things, either burnt toast with peanut butter or English muffins toasted with Cheese Whiz. I don't know why. It is childhood through and through. I had all the great sugary cereals, of course, Golden Grahams, Honey Nut Cheerios, Count Chocula. You know, at one point, chocolate milk was a really big childhood nostalgic throwback sensory thing. But nowadays, it's just something like burnt toast. Because when you're getting ready for school, my folks would just throw the toaster in the toaster. But now keep an eye on it.
Smell of it,
you know? Too, yeah. It's the smell. And it doesn't bother me. As a kid, I hated burnt toast, right? Who likes to eat something that's charred? But that was a big deal for me. That was a big deal for me. So that's where I'm at. Where is the auction these days, Jay? What's going on? What item is up for grabs, and what ended on Wednesday morning, and how did that go?
First of all, what's up, Nathan? Sorry to make you hungry, buddy. And thank you again for stepping in so quickly last week. I do appreciate that. Rob appreciates it too, man. So thank you for that. The auction ended. Ahsoka didn't do so great. We talked about this on the phone, and it's basically Hasbro re-released the figure a month ago. Or I mean, really, you couldn't have any worse timing. But that's okay. That's the way these things go. You know, this was we shot it last August, and there was no plans, at least to our knowledge, of Ahsoka coming out again. But they've done it again because they've re-released Shay Vizsla, who's another very expensive figure from the Old Republic. And I've got that one, and she's going to drop in value as well. But hey, that's the way she rolls. You win some, you lose some. But we're moving on. Right now we are on to another one that I'm not too sure is going to do so great. It's our second Sektars, and I think I might have made a mistake with that as well. And we were talking about this in the production van, where it's kind of like, I don't think both Sektars should have been in. I think one would have done great.
Hard to say, though. First of all, we still got lots of time for General Spider-X and the Spider-Flyer, which is in pristine, practically case-fresh condition. It's like it hasn't seen sunlight, oxygen, or been touched by anybody in almost 40 years. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's in amazing shape, and I actually know the seller. And we can get into that story once season 2 comes out and everyone's seen it. We can talk about that. It's a great story. But this one is in great shape. And to have that bubble not cracked, there's a tiny dent in it, but it doesn't affect it. To have it not cracked or yellowed, it's phenomenal. And Sektars is such a cool line, one that doesn't get enough love. It's a very obscure line, which, again, I think that's kind of almost the theme of season 2 a little bit. Where season 1, I really wanted those bangers. And this one, we kind of went a little obscure. We brought our heads together. Ultimately, it was my decision. Everything was my decision. But we really kind of went back and forth as to what should be in this one, which I liked a lot.
I don't think you made a mistake by getting two Sektar figures at all. I 100% think you did the right thing. Prince Dargon was a much lower price than acquiring General Spider-X, as people will see when they watch the series.
Yeah.
Which is also reflected in the auction prices as well, of course, which isn't necessarily what Jay bought it for. It's just what we're setting up based on sold auctions that we found. We want fair market value for everything. But yeah. Dargon was cheaper because it was more beat up. Spider-X was more expensive because it's so pristine. So you can't really go wrong with those two options. They're sealed, like key hero and key villain figures from a line that's just in the news as well. The Nacelle Company announced that Sektars is coming back with a new show, cartoon, and figures. So hopefully, if anybody's watching right now, you'll jump on this before they skyrocket in value, because when that new show comes out, these retro releases are going to jump up in value, and you want to get your hand.
That wasn't an April Fool's joke. You're sure about that?
No, I thought it was too, but it's not. It's legit. It's everywhere. Cool. There was a number of things I thought were April Fool's jokes, like the PSA figures for G.I. Joe. But again, real.
Those are cool, but the problem is the articulation is garbage for a Joe.
Yeah, but you're buying it for the packaging, right? For a reaction, G.I. Joe. You're buying it for that body massage.
Yeah,
I'm a computer it's packaging.
Too bad they didn't. I would love to see one of those, an actually done by Hasbro, I think would be cool. But I mean, it's very tongue in cheek. I don't think Hasbro would release that, but it's cool that Super 7 is. And I think they're a good nostalgia figure for sure. But again, not for the price tag they're going to be.
So General Spydrax has 3 or 4 days left. Of course, it's on eBay. Just search Sektar's General Spydrax Spider Flyer sealed mint on card or whatever Jay put it up. You will find it. It is the best looking one that'll ever be on eBay. I promise you that. This is something you do want on your shelf 100%. The wings on the Spider Flyer are so fragile, and finding those figures as mint as they are, just incredible. Speaking of retro figures, this got sent to me, Jay. I don't know if you've seen this book floating around, people talking about it online. This is Masters of the Universe, the Vintage Toy Reference Guide by Zach Papadelius. Have you seen this?
Mm-mm.
So what separates this from so many other books, and I'll just try to kind of thumb through it for you. Obviously, we had the Dark Horse release from Pixel Dan come out, but this one really goes above and beyond and discusses the foreign variants of the toys.
So
international Masters collecting is a really big thing. Like once you kind of get the US standard release set, you got to go for that Camo Con or some of the other like the Leo stuff, like the Leo Faker and all the India releases, right? So for example, on Battle Armor Skeletor here, there's a paragraph that describes each and every version and how they're different. You've got release dates as well here. I think the biggest thing people are talking about with this book is the lack of imagery. I love that there is a breakdown description of what the France version was like, or India, or Mexico, or the Mexico USA hybrid, or the Spanish release. But I want to be able to see them, right? Because international releases for Masters is something I don't know that much about, that I'd love to tiptoe maybe a little bit into. But unless I can see the difference when you're talking about a darker green or a highlight yellow on these specific parts, it's really hard to kind of put it together. Zach has been hounded by Mattel, which has forced him to take it off Amazon. It's on Lulu Books if you want to get yourself a copy. There's over 400 pages. It's a lot of work, and he did this as a passion project more than anything. He's not trying to make a buck, but he loves his Masters. He wanted collectors to know about it, and that's why he sent this my way and just wanted an honest reaction. So there you go, Zach. If you like Masters of the Universe and you want some more in-depth understanding, this is for you guys out there watching.
Very cool. Very cool.
What are some of your favorite collecting books?
Anything Belomo does is, I mean, no one touches him. He's not only a fan of everything, but his guides, the Star Wars Transformers, the Joe stuff, it's untouchable, man. It's ridiculous. And the fact that he keeps revising them. And these books too, I mean, the G.I. Joe third edition is going for like $150, $200, and that you can't buy it now. It's like eBay prices, but I don't know where I would be in a lot of my collections without those guides, especially the Joe stuff, because it's so daunting. And you're a fan of the pictures, as I think you need that in a toy book. You need a visual guide, and he lays everything out so clear and so clean on a white background, so precise. Nothing beats Mark. Nothing.
I remember when we were talking about the flag in season one, we were trying to figure out how many parts and how complete the flag that you got for season one was, and trying to figure out which was missing. And that guy had everything laid out so crystal clear so that you could see it. It was up front, as close so you could, like, better than just a visual checklist. Like there's a nice understanding to it. Like it's laid out and structurally well thought out, which is missing from some of these pop culture collecting books.
Yeah, and he will have in the corner, I've done a ton of Mini Joe playset reviews, and in his guide he has the most common missing pieces for each unit. So it's really hard to find on the jump. Jetpack is usually the cord, just stuff like that, right? It's really cool too. So it's like, if you're going out in the wild trying to find this thing, you know, to kind of be like, okay, you know, I need the cord for the jump, or it's not complete kind of deal.
Awesome. Awesome. We have a question of the week that actually came to me about four times over the past week, and a couple before, and I had hoped to get to it last week, but I didn't get a chance to pop on due to some unforeseen drama that had to be taken care of. And my rule is, don't just go on with the show for the sake of doing a show. You got to do the show and make it the best kind of show. So that's the decision behind me stepping out last week. And again, thanks to you and Tater for carrying on. But the question that I've been getting is, Rob, you've been talking about Action Figure Adventure Season 2 so much. When are we going to see it? When can we get the Kickstarter? Well, I can say right now, all 9 episodes that are done being shot have been finished. We've got to finish the 10th one, but we're waiting on the auction items to wrap up, of course. And in 2.5 weeks, we finish that and do our final day of filming, I believe. And then that'll be done. So with that being the last kind of landmark thing, I'm starting to work on the trailer in this week coming up, which is really exciting, because when I did the trailer for season 1, none of the episodes were cut. I was just going through, grabbing some cool footage and putting it together as I found stuff and revising it a little bit afterwards. But everything is cut this time. I know where it's all going. I know how it all pans out. So it's really exciting to think about what this trailer could be. So we hope, if that's the case, that in May, the Kickstarter will be launched. And of course, that'll be your chance to get in on the digital, to get in on the exclusive Blu-ray, which is exciting.
Very cool.
Really exciting.
Yeah. Any kind of physical media now is awesome. And I was sitting around the other day just thinking about a bunch of films that I no longer have in my collection, and I wanted to see them. And even the most obscure of apps didn't have these very obscure films. I'm just kicking myself. So there's nothing like actually owning a disc or a tape or whatever. You can decide what you want to do with it. I'll swear that till the end. I mean, physical media is the way to go.
There's something about having control over what you want to watch and when you want to watch it. Streaming is nice. It's convenient. Digital is great until the plug gets pulled. We've all talked about the Rock Band story a few times.
Well, yeah, and you're not in control of Netflix. You know, you put on one of my favorite films, Saturday Night Fever, and, you know, you get the little icon in the top corner that says, you know, you have till June 1st to watch this. And it just, I really don't like that. I get it. You know, they can only license this stuff for periods of time, and I understand that, but
yeah,
you don't really ever feel like you own anything. You're not in control of anything, and not a fan of that.
That's what's great about our Kickstarter, because people will get digital copies with all the physical purchases as well. And it'll be through Vimeo. So you can add it to your Vimeo library and through the Vimeo app, on whatever set-top device you use, whether it's Apple TV or Roku, I believe, or the Amazon Fire Stick, fire up the Vimeo and watch stuff through your library right there. It's not going away. We are not pulling it, because it's something that you will be able to check out anytime that you want, which is pretty great, I think. So, yeah. Anything coming up, Jay, that you want to talk about or plug before we get into the big, bad beast of the marketing machine of pop culture?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we could say that for the end, but right now, let me think. I'm doing a live stream tonight, something that's been weighing on me for a while. And if anyone who's seen my last video that I just put out yesterday, it's about the classic She-Ra and Swiftwind, and the debate of having something so valuable that you can't replace or get anymore. And just me constantly buying She-Ra figures throughout the years, trying to find that perfect one when the perfect one has been sitting there for a few years on my shelf. So I just want to talk with everybody and see if people have gone through similar situations and what they did. Because I mean, the Swiftwind, this is no joke. This is like, her and Swiftwind are about $1,000 now. So it's no joke just to open this. It's like, ha ha ha, just open it. Yeah, but
it's only a paper number, man. That's my two cents. And hopefully I'll be able to chime in on chat as I normally do. But to me, it's just a paper loss, because that value now is going to go up and down. Classics have already dropped huge in the last 2 years since we filmed season 1 of AFA.
But even that, right? I mean, I don't want to blow through all my material here, but I mean, that She-Ra And that Swift Wind, I don't think there hasn't been a Swift Wind in a long time, but those two are like perfect. The Shearers that keep coming out, and the Origins and the Super 7 one, they're okay. The Club Grayskull one is pretty great, but I think the Classics one is still the best. It's like, why am I spending more money on these figures over and over again when I already have these ones on my shelf that are in a box that I'm afraid to open? So I think it'd be a good discussion. So 7 o'clock tonight, Eastern Standard Time, join me. And let's talk about that stuff. I want to hear what you guys have to say and if you've been in similar situations.
You know what I've preached. I'll let you talk about it on your show, and I'll let you I'll harass you with my comments at 7 p.m. tonight on Jay's channel, everybody.
Yeah.
Let's talk marketing. Let's talk the big bad machine of marketing, because it doesn't seem to really exist to the degree for the adult toy collecting market like it seemed to exist growing up.
Yeah, yeah.
When did you, rewinding time, when was the first time you became really aware of marketing when it comes to pop culture stuff, whether it's music, movies, TV, toys, video games? It wasn't just like getting you excited. It was like, this feels like somebody is trying to get me excited. Like, you are aware of the mechanisms.
When I was old enough to understand when they were trying to sell me something, was probably the Tim Burton Batman was a marketing machine unlike anything I've ever experienced. Batman was huge. It was beyond huge. And I would say Star Wars, but at the time I was loving all of that stuff. The posters, the toys, the commercials, blah, blah, blah. Like, I didn't see it. But it was in grade 9 when Batman came out, the Tim Burton one, and that was the first time I was like, okay. You know, they're bringing back all the Bob Kane images. So it wasn't just the Tim Burton stuff, but it was just Batman in general was on fire. There was toys, there was posters. Everyone had the same Batman poster, the movie poster logo. Everybody had that Prince record. And nothing against Prince, obviously, but I mean, that record sucks, right? Everyone had that. Everyone played
Bat Dance. Good. Bat Dance is awesome.
And everyone had there's a bunch of vulgar Batman shirts. I knew a ton of people that had that. I never had that one. You know the one I'm referring to. The Batman is whatever. Right? But everyone had that shirt. I would say Batman. Yeah, the 89 Batman.
I was hard-pressed to find something earlier. I mean, there was no shortage of marketing for all the toy lines and the cartoons and the movies that we kind of grew up watching prior to 89 Batman. Like, the fact that there was a G.I. Joe Transformers and He-Man movie, like, you had to go to the theater to see it, felt a little off as a kid. Like, wait, why do I got to do that? Like, why are you pushing me in this direction instead of, this is my happy space here in my living room? So that felt a little different. It was bigger, which was okay, but it just felt different. It didn't feel sneaky. But when Batman hit, you couldn't escape it. And suddenly you were surrounded by it. And I was okay with it. I was just aware that it felt like everybody was excited about the same thing and everybody wanted to help my bat fascination.
I kind of have the opposite opinion, where back then, not now, back then I loved going to the theater. So I thought it was super special to see a Transformers movie. Again, getting a bit older, and when Turtles came out, the Turtles movie, that's when I was like, my nose really turned up, because I was like, what are they doing to Turtles?
It's funny you mentioned Turtles,
but the Turtles movie was where I was just kind of like, wow, like this is getting out of control now.
It's funny you mentioned Turtles, because that's on my list as well, where basically every film after Batman felt like it was trying to do the Batman thing.
Turtles. Yeah, but we were also old enough to understand more. Like, Batman is the perfect example, especially when you get into the Schumacher stuff. Like, Batman and Robin had so much merchandise. Batman Forever had so much merchandise. They had a friggin' sandwich at McDonald's, for God's sakes. The hero sandwich.
Yeah.
They later rebranded it to a hockey hero, but it was still, I think, originally the Batman hero, and it came in a Batman wrapper and all that. Like, that's crazy. Right? Like, that's huge. I don't remember anything bigger than the Batman stuff.
Jurassic Park was pretty big as well.
I don't remember much about that. I didn't like it, man. Right? So I just didn't pay attention to it. I don't remember the toys being anything special.
And Batman started it all.
The movie itself it's a great movie, of course. It wasn't something that I didn't become obsessed with it like it was Star Wars, Indiana Jones, or something, but it was okay.
So Batman, Last Crusade, TMNT movie, and the one that really irked me the most as a kid, where I totally caught it and I was out of my shell, where like, oh, was Ghostbusters 2. When Ghostbusters 2 came out, and they did everything they could to push the toys, to push the series in syndication that was still going on, and it was the Ghostbusters logo animated all the time, where, you know, he comes up and he holds the two fingers up for number two. It's like, here's the second one.
Let me ask you this. Why did the car have that logo? Why did
because
the car
they're back. Have... They're back? You know why the car doesn't has that even logo. Make you sense. Know the real reason.
No, I know that, but I'm just saying, like, let's just joke about it. Let's poke fun at it. Like, why did it have a two? You're back. Well, why would you change your logo? What is two having to do with being back?
I don't know. Second It'd be chance? Different if it was like a second franchise or in a different city or something like that.
Yeah. And that always bugged me how Ecto-1 had the two logo on it.
I didn't like how Ecto-1 had to change. It's like none of that stuff they put on it did anything. They didn't showcase anything with it. So why did the car have to change? Like Ecto-1A. Exactly. Merchandising, right? But there was tons and tons of Ghostbuster stuff, and I went back and looked at some of it. And as soon as I saw it for the research of this episode, I was like, man, that is just blatantly a cash grab. And you can tell that marketing was pushing the production of that film more than, you know, any other reason. I mean, that's usually the number one reason for a sequel to begin with is we have a chance to make more money. Let's get the band back together.
And people want more of that thing they love until they get it, and then they don't want it. Right. I mean, that's the way it's always been, which makes no sense, but that's the way she goes.
And let's not forget, Action Figure Adventure Season 2 is coming out this December, everybody. Get in on it now. We'll have a big toy deal by then, too, just for your
that I can say, and the two episodes that I've seen, it is better. I just think it's better in every way.
You just like watching yourself. That's it.
No, I don't like watching myself. Oh, Dick Tracy. That's a good one.
I was going to say, so Dick Tracy's on the list as well, because it comes in the wake of Batman and tries to be Batman so hard.
Yeah.
Danny Elfman does Dick the Tracy soundtrack.
Was always it's also the way it's based on the 30s theme, comics. Right? I mean,
yeah,
it was always dark, but they tried to, like it was Tim Burton style. Yeah, they totally ripped that off, which is hilarious because he looks like a banana, right? I mean, you can't have Dick Tracy without a yellow trench coat and hat. So they tried to make it dark, but that movie's so embarrassing. Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
So embarrassing.
I there's parts that I like about it, and then there's just so much that I don't like about it.
Ryan,
it could be remade.
Ryan, you're a bit younger than us. Star Wars is the master. When the special editions came out, that's when it became like super normal. And no one does it like George Lucas. He's the master of marketing. Like, you can get Star Wars on anything. Actually, I think Kiss would be a close second. But when the special editions came out and then the prequels, it was just, it's over.
I still think the special edition trailers for Star Wars are the best. You know, it's the TV screen for an entire generation, you know, or for more, what is it, more than a decade, an entire generation has only been able to watch the Star Wars films like this until now.
And then, now you get to watch it with altered scenes that are exciting until 20 years later.
And spend $20 a pop.
You realize that they're unnecessary, but.
Yeah, there's a reason those were cut. Speaking of reasons things were cut, check out the Real Nintendo Quest, the 30-minute episodes that never got shown because they weren't necessary for the film. That's 90 minutes.
Yeah, watch a younger me being in awkward situations, feeling very awkward. It's a lot of fun.
And a beardless Rob pushing your buttons still 9 years earlier. What are some of the other films that came on your radar or other things? Mario 3's release was on my list as a big video game marketing thing. Same with The Wizard.
I wanted to go back a bit to Transformers and G.I. Joe and how, you know, most of the time when you hear about reviews for the 86 Transformers movie, you hear that it's just an hour, a 20-minute toy commercial. I never thought that then. And I see it now, but I don't think that, because the story is actually really great. But I can see, you know, they kill all the old characters. Let's look at it from marketing. They kill all the old characters and showcase all the new characters to the point where actually the poster, the first poster, all the new characters are on the front. There's nobody who's old on the poster, right? And the G.I. Joe movie, how they have that specific new recruit scene with Beachhead where he's bringing in the new recruits and it's all new characters, right? So it still doesn't bother me. I mean, one great thing about those franchises is the introduction of new characters. And you wanted to buy new figures. You wanted to... You had the old Joes you loved. You loved Duke Hawk, blah, blah, blah. But you wanted Falcon. You wanted Tunnel Rat. You wanted all the new guys. I think that was exciting. And I think you need to refresh that. You need to bring in these new characters. They didn't have to brutally kill the Transformers like they did. But, I think you need that fresh blood now and then.
Well, obviously, and I think you guys talked about it on one of your streams with the... With the Maple Foundation, the Can Foundation, with you and Michael Mercy and your other friends, discussed how they changed the outcome of the G.I. Joe film because of the backlash to the Transformers one with Duke not getting killed.
It was also straight to video because of that. They didn't want to release it theatrically because the backlash of Optimus Prime's death.
I'm fine with new figures. I don't think necessarily that you need to bring in new characters to tell new stories. I think you can have a lot of new stories still. I mean, look at those original runs, right? Like 130 episodes for Masters, you know, how many for G.I. Joe and Transformers?
What? Enough.
I think 120 for Transformers. Like it was 85 or 86 before they get to the movie.
The Transformers movie is a bit better because there's a lot of old characters in there as well at the beginning and at the end. It's not like they completely just cut them out. The Joe one is more Masters of the Universe flavor of the week, where, okay, here's the new guy, here's the new bad guy. I don't like so much. I think it's fine for a show like Masters of the Universe where Trap Jaw shows up for the first time and, oh my God, how are we going to beat this guy? He eats our weapons. And then, of course, He-Man hits him with the tree. And then the next episodes that he's in, he's just a bumbling idiot like the rest of them, right? I think that's fine. But in a movie setting, introduce new characters with a purpose.
Well, what's great about a movie is you give the characters a really nice platform for like a true introduction, right? Like it would be hard to give somebody a memorable introduction in the course of a 22-minute show, or at least several characters in an episode. And that's one of the things I appreciate about a Real American Hero cartoon is that so many of those stories were branched across 5-episode arcs. So that you could appreciate characters in a syndicated way that would be harder to do in, like you said, the He-Man format where everything was a standalone episode except for House of Chakotay. Yeah. But, you know, it's really hard to get invested in when something didn't build off the other ones.
And the writing in Transformers is done so well in the film because Ultra Magnus isn't just a copy of Optimus Prime. He's a truck, sure. That's about where it ends. You know, he's a soldier. He admits he's a soldier. He's no more than that. And he was right. He gets
I'm just owned. A truck, Prime. I'm just a truck.
Yeah, I'm just a truck like you. And he's just like, whatever, just take this thing, man. And then even Hot Rod, when, you know, Hot Rod and Rodimus Prime is not like Optimus at all. Hot Rod has a lot of doubt. When he's Rodimus Prime, he doubts himself a lot. He looks to Magnus for advice, and Prime never did that. So it's great writing. It's just not another, it's not, this is the new Optimus Prime. It's a completely different character.
Rodimus goes to Ultra Magnus. I don't know what to do, Ultra Magnus. I'm just a truck, Rodimus.
He's like, I'm just a truck and I got blowed up. So what are you looking at me for? Go talk to Bumblebee.
Leave me alone. You stole my light. You stole my thunder. I'm just a truck.
Do you think Robert Stack was annoyed that he got outshined by John Bender?
No, I don't. I think they knew what they were getting into.
I can never remember his name.
Does it bother you that there are celebrity voices doing characters and then replaced by other people in the cartoons after the fact?
No, Frank Welker is, you know what I'm going to say. Much prefer him as Galvatron to Leonard Nimoy.
Because that's a big part of the marketing machine, right? Like, watch Transformers in the theater and hear Leonard Nimoy as Galvatron. Who doesn't want to hear evil Spock rip out the guts of Ultra Magnus. Yeah.
No, it didn't bother me because they got sound-alikes that were pretty spot on. The guy who did Judd Nelson was great for Rodimus. Magnus, they're all pretty close. I preferred Galvatron's voice. Yeah. I can't remember who they did for Unicron because Orson had obviously passed by then. I can't remember that. Starscream's Ghost, that was a great episode, but who did Unicron's voice? But they had great sound alike, so it wasn't... The only one that was really stuck out like a sore thumb was Galvatron.
Yeah, it was the most jarring one. But if you watch season two, I guess it is, of Transformers, again, five episodes that go... Five Faces of Darkness that take place right after the movie.
Yeah.
You're sucked into it and you forget because it's not just this one-off character here. You know, when you see... Galvatron, was it arise from the goo on Char or whatever it is?
Yeah, he's like
the planet,
like cooking in that goo for like a year, so he's got all these sparks, his crown's broken and he's a little insane, which is great. It's a great arc for that character.
He's
not just another, he's not just Megatron again, he's like Megatron times 10, where he has zero tolerance and his tolerance will result in you dying. I mean, he's so great.
There you go, we're getting Rhett chiming in, says Jimmy Hart did Galvatron's voice. Who knows? Who knew? I don't know if that's the case, but you know what?
We'll verify. Sure Frank Welker was Galvatron.
Right? No, we're just going to say Jimmy Hart because it's the internet, and anything we say could be true.
Sure.
That's how we do. That's our marketing.
That would be way cooler. Frank's an amazing voice actor, but yeah, I don't know. That's cool. If that's true. I don't.
Daniel,
know.
You're right. Season three is what I meant, not season two. Good catch. I was slipping. You caught me slipping.
What are
the pros and cons of the marketing machine, man? Like, what do you like about marketing and what do you hate about it?
I don't mind trailers for shows like when I'm loading up a YouTube video and I see Book of Boba Fett on Disney Plus or Moon Knight or whatever the flavor of the week is. I don't mind trailers. I don't like... Star Wars is really bad for this, especially since Disney has taken over. I don't like... when they have like the little kids, it'll be like for whatever product and the little kid is like dressed like Rey and the little boy is dressed like a Jedi. I don't like those where it's like everyday product. They're just like pimping out these kids and they make everything about Star Wars. And it's like, I can't even think of an example of the commercial to be like some stupid food commercial and to be like, eat your food like a Jedi or some crap like that. That's the kind of stuff I find really distasteful.
I like it, but there's a saturation point for me. Like the Spider-Man, was it the last Spider-Man that came? No Way Home? Is that what the last one was called?
I don't care.
Right. So, okay. So moving on, like for me, I was excited. And then it seemed like every week there was a new trailer spot. And it was essentially 90% the same trailer, except for one or two shots in it, that somehow got a 10-minute spotlight on Entertainment Tonight. Tune into Entertainment Tonight to check out the new footage of Dr. Octopus. Check out tonight to hear the Green Goblin's voice. It was like, you are putting this so much in my face that I absolutely hate it. It's gone from, okay, I can't wait for it, and now that it's out, I don't care, and I'm okay if I don't see it for a while. And Batman, the most recent Batman film, was getting almost as bad, but didn't quite hit that mark for me.
I don't remember seeing anything for that. I don't even think I saw the movie. I didn't even see the trailer for it. And I think that was by design. I didn't want to know what anyone thought. I didn't care. I didn't want to see Robert Pattinson beforehand. I just wanted to go in blind. Or I didn't want to see what Riddler looked like. I had no idea what Riddler looked like. I didn't know that Joker was in it at the end and all this stuff. So it was great.
I haven't seen it, so that's a spoiler.
Sorry, bud. I don't know what to tell you. But
I'm going to spoil the next Batman movie for you. Batman's in it. He regrets everything and blames Batman's his parents' in it, death.
Let me tell you something there, Chuckles. If you're spoiled by Joker being in a Batman movie, like...
I guess you could say the same about Batman Begins, right? He wasn't in it until the stupid playing card at the end.
Oh yeah. So he's in a little tiny scene. You don't even see him. And then they've released Warner Brothers has released this scene that was cut out.
Yeah.
And you still kind of don't really see his face fully. You see parts of it, but I don't know, man. Stop the superhero madness. Damn the madness.
I like it when it can let you know that something's on, I guess, but I don't like it when they take that excitement and just abuse it. And I know people are just trying to do their job and make sure everybody knows about something, because right now, like, I don't watch TV anymore. Like, traditionally, I watch streaming platforms, and for the most part, there isn't advertising in that. I think I watch Tubi, which a lot of our content is on, and there's ads that are planned because we get to choose when commercial breaks happen. But other than that, I don't see ads unless it's on Facebook, Twitter, or YouTube. And it's just like, we're being inundated with stuff because they're trying to get people that box office so damn bad. But I think the bigger marketing tactic that's working is the word of mouth. And look no further than toys, because if I didn't look at Big Bad Toy Store, or I deactivated all my social media accounts, I would not have any idea about what toys are out. And I'm still missing stuff that's getting released and up for grabs for the 3 days that you can pre-order something on NECA's site or whatever it is.
Yeah. I think I don't like, I'm going to give an example of video games here. When a video game will come out, and you can tell that they're really insecure about if it's going to be good or not, because they'll have quotes. Films do this too, right? From the makers of Halo. And it will be like the one guy who was the marketing guy in Halo. Like, he had nothing to do with programming the game, right? It'll be like stuff like that. And Rise of Skywalker was bad too, where, because there was such a backlash from Last Jedi, that they actually released 1 minute and 30 second clip of the film. It was just a mindless action scene, a chase scene, but they released it. It's like, no, it's going to be good. Trust us. Yeah, that stuff. I mean, it's also our choice. It can be in front of us, but I've learned just to not click on it because I don't care.
I love it.
At this point, right?
Because as I talk about getting ready to cut the trailer for season two of Action Figure Adventure, it's going to say, from the makers of Action Figure Adventure season one.
No, you got to be from the makers of Power of Grayskull, Missing Mom, and all that other stuff.
Yeah. All that other stuff. Can we do featuring the guy who beat The Exorcist on YouTube with more subs?
I overtook The Exorcist. That's what he
did. It'll say featuring Jay Bartlett, The Exorcist, and that'll get crossed off. Jay Bartlett, the chef, crossed featuring off.
Jay Bartlett from this Jay thing Bartlett. And that other thing and that other thing.
That guy who did that thing, who talked about those toys, who did that dolly quest for those Nintendo carts. He's back getting more dollies on this quest again.
Yep, exactly.
I would love to put out a trailer like that, but I don't think it would help our Kickstarter efforts.
I loved the marketing machine when I was too young to understand it, when it was the cartoon and then the toy line and then the comic book. You had the three things in the 80s that just were, it was just magic. You would watch the show, it would make you want the toys more. You would play with the toys and it made you, oh, when is Buzz Off going to be in this episode? Or when is Hordak going to show his face? When is this going to happen? So it all just fed each other. It was a magical time. I'm sure our parents didn't like it, but I loved it, man. It's just, it's not that way anymore. Everything is so accessible. Like Revelation.
I find nowadays. I
was just going to say Revelation. It comes out and you can watch the whole thing. I don't like that. Right.
Here's Tater chiming in here from the guys who have a potato as a friend. I find that marketing often is better than the product. And I hate that. Like when the trailer is so good.
Yeah.
Or the preview is so good and it's just like, ugh.
Stay away from the trailers.
But they're better than the thing, which tells you that the thing sucked or that the trailer wasn't representative of the thing.
Expectations are crazy, and I've heard, so there's two big Marvel properties out now. There's Morbius and there's Moon Knight. One is hated, one is loved. Oh, Moon Knight is the next Daredevil.
One's made by Sony and one's made by Disney.
Yeah, there's this Sony verse, and now Andrew Garfield's going to be the Spider-Man in this one. Get the hell out of here with that. I haven't watched anything on Moon Knight. I haven't seen Oscar Isaac in the suit. I don't want to see him in the suit. I'll watch it when I'm ready, but I've stayed away from that stuff, right? But that's just, I don't even know what I'm ranting about now. I've lost my train of thought.
The marketing machine has silenced Jay. Let's get to Action Figure Spotlight before we run out of time for the show. Jay, do you got something that you want to showcase, or did you just bail on this segment?
No, I do.
What are you marketing this week, Jay?
I've complained a lot recently about the prices of toys and how it's driven me to go towards vintage. And one of our streams, I had mentioned how you were razzing me about not getting Triclops from the Revelation Masterverse line.
It's true.
because I didn't think it was worth the money. And I still don't think he's worth the money. However,
but
our good buddy Chad came home the other day, and in my mailbox was Triclops.
Because he knows.
From our buddy Chad. So I just want to give a shout out to him and say thanks, dude, for the gift.
Dude, he looks great. I hadn't seen the version on the left. I'd only ever seen him out of the package.
That's not a version. That's just a little slip on that goes over him.
Yeah, I'd only ever seen it with it on. I'd never seen him just as a Masterverse figure.
So there he is, Henry Rollins in toy form. There you go. Right there. Chad, thanks again, dude. I can't thank you enough. I can't wait to crack him open. I'm going to do a video on him and the Savage He-Man and Orko 2-packs and complain a bit more about pricing, I think. But thanks, man. That was very kind of you.
Speaking of Orko, I recently had an opportunity to buy a product test shot of Orko.
Ooh.
And I couldn't do it because I didn't have the money, but it was only like $250 to have an actual test shot of that Orko.
Yeah.
And again, it's just like, do I really love Revelation Orko the best? Is that like my favorite thing? Do I need it? Is it cool? It's cool. It's a piece of history. And this is a one of a kind, maybe not grail like thing, but it is a one of a kind history piece.
I'm with you there. I think if I was going to get a prototype or a test shot, it would have to be like my guy. It would have to be like my favorite figure to really do something like that. But I've never chased that stuff. Then again, I've never really had an opportunity.
Action Figure Adventure Season 3 Prototype Quest.
Prototypes only. Zero viewers.
I love it. This week, I am going to showcase something that was purely from the marketing machine, and this is a Transformer from the RED Red Line, the Robot Enhanced Design, which is Jay's favorite Transformer figure. And it hails from the Transformers movie. I believe this was a Pulse exclusive, but that probably means it's available everywhere in America, at least. But this is... was it retro formatting Megatron?
Running out of ideas here. Why did you buy that? Why did you do this?
I have big question marks for both. You know, I got excited because it says Transformers the movie, Bobby. You're a dancer. You like Transformers the movie.
Look at this. The most lazy font. They didn't even like do the bright, beautiful colors of the poster. Like,
because so I think they're trying to match the figure itself. I don't know if I can open this again. This is not the type of figure I'm worried about it skyrocketing in value. If I want to enjoy a figure, I like to open it no matter if it's worth $1,000 or not, whether it's, you know, better than other figures that have been released like She-Ra and Swiftwind. If I'm going to enjoy a figure, I'm going to open it. That's just what I think.
Like those turtles that are still in the box behind you.
Those are getting sold. I don't want to enjoy them. They're gone. They're either going to hold a door open. They're going to hold up a table, or they're going to be gone. But that's the Megatron right there. Purple plastic. This looks like a test shot other than that grid pattern, which, you know, I would rather have the Galvatron one. If I had to pick Megatron.
You look so like...
Imagine you're a kid and like you're excited for a Transformers figure, and this is the first Transformers figure you got. Like, here you go, Johnny. Here's your first Megatron. And it's just like, why do I have purple grape Kool-Aid Megatron?
That is literally like a 5-second part of the film. And it's an important part of the film, but it's so niche. It's like
the last time we ever see Megatron. And this is like the last time I'll ever buy a Transformers figure.
It's the last time
you ever or anything from Hasbro Pulse. That's how I feel about that. So that's my figure for the week. Another disappointment, you know, current day purchase of something new in the world of toys. I mean, like, why do they even include like the mace, the ball and chain? Yeah. Like, it's not even from that, you know?
It's from the first episode.
Yeah, so this is exactly like the other Megatron figure I have, which I like for what it is. Again, an affordable version of Megatron that's fairly cartoon realistic. But this, again, I would rather, you know, Cyclonus or Galvatron done in that weird graphic style. So that's that. Another disappointing action figure spotlight.
Well, that's
disappointing. Don't make the same mistakes I've made, folks. Don't make the same mistakes I've made. God, what have I done with my life?
So you're getting rid of those ones behind you, the Super 7 ones?
These ones over these. These are the NECA ones right here. Oh, or you mean these ones back here? These ones.
There's a couple like
these ones.
Actually, quite a few episodes ago, you said you were going to open your turtles.
they're all going to get opened. These ones for sure, because I got that van on the order, right? So that's when they're going to get opened by, at the very least. In fact, I was going to do some unboxing videos because everybody likes to watch packages get open. The only thing more popular on the internet than watching toys get open on packages is people eating food and just slobbering into the microphone, I've discovered. So.
Oh, I hate that, those noises. When someone's drinking and you hear that swallow noise, I can't stand it. Yeah.
You know, the only thing worse than that is when a necklace hits a lav mic on someone's collar and you're trying to edit around it. That's Jay too Bartlett. Bad. It's the worst.
Second only to when someone's building a fence right in the shot trying to shoot a scene.
So how do you feel about helping Children's Health Foundation? Those kids are important to me.
And then I got to like do another take and it's like I'm trying to be in the moment and it's awful. What scene is that Megatron from? In the movie when he gets turned into Galvatron when he's like dead.
Yeah. There you go. What do you got going on this week, Jay? Other than your live stream that's going on tonight where I convince you from waiting in the wings from the safety of my keyboard to open Sheer and Swiftwind, what else you got going on?
Yeah, check out my live stream tonight at 7 p.m. and help me in this toy therapy session that I'm in desperate need of. Tomorrow, the Kitchener Collectible Expo. I'll be going there with Michael Mercy to hang out and just have some fun. Be the first con I've been to since before the pandemic. So that's pretty cool. I just dropped a new YouTube video yesterday on top five toy mounts, your toy mount companion. So if you guys want to check that out on my YouTube page, and tomorrow will be a look back at the Kenner Indiana Jones line and why it didn't work. So check all that stuff out, guys.
You open the General Spydrax, don't you, for the sake of your video, and then seal it back up, right?
Why? I'm not doing a Spydrax video.
No, I meant for your mount video. Top five mount, General Spydrax.
Oh, you got to watch it. I can't tell you who's on that list. The thumbnail is misleading. I'll just put it to you that way.
Cool. Awesome. Awesome marketing. Good marketing machine. Here's what I'm promising. It's not what you're getting.
Well, isn't that not the nature of the thumbnail? All I need is like me surprised, like, what is going on?
Big bold letters saying, what did I do?
The worst thing you can do is to put, have a top five list and then put the five things on the thumbnail. It's like, okay, now I don't even have to click on the video. Great.
Don't you though? Don't
I
you?
See them.
Number four will really surprise you. That's my other favorite thing. Yeah. Top five lists. I've got two YouTube videos coming out myself this week. I dared myself to actually make a YouTube video like you other hardworking YouTubers out there.
Yeah.
To see how much fun and what kind of work would go into making a proper video. And I picked a passion project of Disney Ultimates.
Oh, nice.
And it's a new series, maybe, called Action Figure Wish List, where I look at different lines and different things I'd like to see and just basically talk about why I would like them. So I look out for Action Figure Wish List for Disney Ultimates coming out. And just as I finished kind of recording my parts, wave one of Disney Ultimates hit my doorstep. So that'll be another video I do. It might just be a live stream where I unbox and just talk to people and see if the expectations live up, because that's a line that I was in for the rule of two. And as they announce more and more figures, I kind of walked away, not so excited anymore.
Yeah, it happens, man. Don't feel bad about walking away.
Oh, I don't. Yeah. I just wish there was one line out there for the entire duration of the line that I was glued to. Just one thing I can constantly be excited about without recurring regurgitation and disappointment.
That was me with Origins. Yeah, I was so excited. And then the PowerCon stuff just killed it for me. And, you know, add on top of that, the fact that you can't really find, I found like the newest wave, the Sorceress wave in like a Rexall of all places. I was like, okay.
And yeah, Big Bad Toy Store doesn't have my copies of that yet. So that's hilarious that it's in Rexall in Canada.
The Sorceress, Buzz Off, Jitsu wave. Yeah, I've seen all of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, the PowerCon stuff, they're great. You and I have seen them. You own them. And
I had two sets, got rid of them both.
Yeah. And like the price tag, I'm like, I liked Origins because they were $14, because it was affordable, because they were fun to find. Now, not.
And now, but who doesn't like paint swaps? Kool-Aid, Kool-Aid Grape Megatron.
Oh, well, there you go. He's great.
Kool-Aid Grape Megatron. There you go. What can you do? what can you do? Anyways, that'll do it for another show, folks. Check us out at all the same stuff. Jay's got a YouTube channel. I'm around on Twitter at Rob McZob. We try to end every show the same way. For the love of toys and the warmth of scarves,
you know,
which
what?
We haven't worn in a while.
I noticed the energy level is so much lower. We were so happy at the beginning, and after you open that Megatron, it's just like, well, that's
well. Good thing we didn't open them at the beginning. My goodness, that would have been a slog for everybody else. I ran out of coffee. That's the problem. For the love of toys and warmth of scarves, take care of yourselves
and each other.
Because the best time of acoustic brunch Jay and Rob Toy Show time, Jay, is?
It's purple Megatron time. It's playtime, of course.
Playtime. We'll see you guys next week. Cheers.